Good morning.
Good morning, sir.
Before I give my talk, I may not be able to sit like this too long. I have a cleaning injury. I was, getting something on the floor and I somehow wrenched my knee. So I'm going to use things that both Bernie Glassman and Reb Anderson, who has written a book, for the life of me, I can't remember the name of it, on the precepts. So I just want to give thanks to both of them for helping me write this talk. So when we study the precepts, we are introduced to the teaching of two truths. And the first one is called Samriddhi, Samriddhi Satya. And in English, or it's called the conventional truth. And then there's Paramartha Satya, which is referred to in our language as the ultimate truth. So you have two, the conventional truth and the ultimate truth. And the conventional truth refers to the everyday commonsensical understanding of the existence of things. And in this context, the precepts are concerned with things like doing or not doing, good or bad. They're conventional. The ultimate truth is not circumcised. When I read this on my own, I kept saying circumcised, but that's not the word. They're not circumscribed by human thought or judgment with all its fallibility. Thus, the ultimate truth transcends ordinary reality, and it's beyond action and non-action. So understanding the conventional meaning is absolutely necessary, but it's not sufficient for realizing the ultimate truth. And that ultimate truth is that there is no separation and there is no self. So even if they have not studied the precepts, most people, most students who participate in Zen practice know that there are two ways to perceive reality. We commonly call these ways form and emptiness. And form would be the conventional way of perceiving reality, and emptiness would be the ultimate. And many Zen students get tricked by their minds into believing that if they don't live their lives from the ultimate point of view, that they are unsuccessful Zen students, and therefore deficient and limited. And I think that's why sanghas have failed to challenge teachers who have betrayed their vows and committed harm. And the students believe that the teacher lives his or her life from the ultimate point of view, and therefore cannot have abused the precepts, that he or she is above the conventional view. And of course, as we know, if we look at the recent history of Zen practice, this way of seeing the teacher is a fatal mistake. Nagarjuna says, "Without a foundation in conventional truth, the significance of the ultimate truth cannot be taught. Without understanding the significance of the ultimate, liberation cannot be achieved." So, you know, we say in Zen that Zen is life, and that it is not limited to sitting on the cushion, that Zen extends beyond the Zendo, whether they have realized the ultimate truth or not. So when we enter into the activity of the world, we see how pain and suffering arise from selfishness. And Bernie Glassman encourages us to, quote, live a life that matters. And this is the most important thing that I'm intending to convey. He says, so live a life that matters, and that we don't have to be enlightened. We don't have to have embodied the ultimate perspective to live our lives that way. We don't have to wait to be enlightened to live a life that matters, or to live a life that's in service of others. But what is necessary is to bear witness, to completely become the situation that we are faced with. And so bear witness to each situation as it appears. And if we do that, compassion will arise naturally. End quote. So just a side note, as we talk about compassion a lot and empathy a lot. But there's a difference between empathy and compassion. Empathy is when we can feel another's pain. And in compassion, we can feel another's pain, but it goes beyond that. Because we can feel another's pain, we act. We take action. And in Zen, we call this loving action. So another quote, I think this is from Bernie also. This can be as simple as giving a hand to someone who stumbles, or picking up a child who has fallen on the floor. We take such natural action every day of our lives without even considering it special. And he says, and they are not special. Each is simply the best possible response we can make to that situation in that moment. End quote. So the child who has fallen doesn't care if the person that helps them lives a life from the ultimate point of view or the conventional point of view. Right? It was just helping taking place. And these concepts, these ideas, don't really matter. It doesn't matter if you're not enlightened. You know, in other words, if somebody falls, you don't have to wait till you're enlightened to help them get up. So the person extending the hand momentarily is functioning from the ultimate point of view without thinking about it, right? Think about when you help somebody. You don't think, I am helping somebody. You just help somebody. Right? And that's the ultimate, when there is no self and there is no other. There's just the act of helping. So even if you haven't attained enlightenment, there are many moments in our life when we do experience the ultimate. And that would be an example of one of them. So there is no self and no other. There is just a hand being extended. And there are times when living from the conventional point of view that an opportunity arises, which presents, as I said, a chance to experience the ultimate. And so back to Bernie, he says, quote, we don't have to figure out situations ahead of time. We must learn to simply bear witness, that is, to become each and every aspect of the situation. When we listen with our entire body and mind, loving action just arises. So the key is listening with our entire body and mind. And you can do that if you see the world from a conventional point of view. So living a life from a conventional point of view should not be understood as lacking. The ultimate just has not been realized yet. Living life in the conventional way is actually quite rich and beautiful. We live to be of service to others, and in doing so, we may, in the process, get a taste of the ultimate. So hopefully these experiences will encourage us to go deeper into our practice, and to actually realize the ultimate. So realize the ultimate partnership that exists between the conventional and the ultimate. But again, I just want to reiterate that we do not have to have been enlightened to live a life that matters, a life in service to others. Thank you.